What's up, sexy people? It is Dave. It's Duncan. Back from Metal Epidemic for another. Already? Seriously? Another.
Might as well start as we mean to go along, being fucking rad.
Another album review from myself and my man Duncan. For this one, we've been checking out the new release from Californian new wave enthusiast Gallo. Gallo's new album, Twin Flames, will be released on February 16th via Sumerian Records.
Sumerian, eh? Sumerian. We don't often do much Sumerian on this channel. It kind of almost feels like you're trying to keep the releases away from me.
Well, I think there was a period of time where Sumerian were very of one particular style.
Yes.
And then now they've started to diversify a bit more.
It kind of feels like almost as if they were like that. If we only pin our tail to one wagon here, that kind of marginalizes ourselves in album sales, and maybe we shouldn't do that anymore.
True.
And I would say that is a smart business strategy.
Absolutely. Born and raised in Riverside, California.
On the playground. He spent most of his days. What? No?
No. He grew up in the SoCal punk scene. He started playing drums at the age of 9 and would go to the Showcase Theatre in Corona every weekend to watch bands such as Dr. No, TSOL and Narcoleptic Youth. In 2015, he became involved in the bludgeoning underground rap scene, DJing for the likes of Ghostmane and Lil Peep. since then,
the reason there's not a bludgeoning rap scene in Scotland, because whenever you mention any rap stars from a Scottish mouth, it seems like we're struggling with English. Lil Peep.
Since then, he has gone to perform as touring DJ for the likes of City Morgue, as well as released two solo albums, 2018's Waste Away and Gallo, released in July of 2020, which features guest appearances from the likes of Travis Barker, Brennan Savage and Jack Grisham from TSOL, and has spawned singles Fear, Johnny Cash and Last Dance. Gallo released his acclaimed Spirit Walker EP in the spring of 2021, which saw his stylistic expansion into post-punk and dark wave. Heavily influenced by the likes of Drab Majesty, Sisters of Mercy and Bauhaus, the transition began with the highly acclaimed single Last Dance from his previous eponymous full-length, and continued with the Spirit Walker EP and his 2022 releases Die By Your Hand, Falling Down, Not Sorry, and then the Suffer EP. So, it's quite an interesting one, because this guy has quite a following. Over 31 million streams on Spotify, 1.4 million on YouTube.
It's almost Metal Epidemic numbers.
Getting there. Kind of came out of nowhere for us. But as soon as I heard this, I thought of one person.
You literally sent me a WhatsApp. Sumerian is getting in on this shit, Duncan. Listen to this track. And I think I came back to you right away going, this is fucking amazing.
No, it was my dad, actually, I was thinking about.
Send it to your dad. Your dad was like, I play saxophone and I'm in a funk cover band. This is not the shit for me. this is not the shit for you. I should send this to Duncan.
Duncan, it was Duncan. This felt very much like a Duncan type of album that we should have a listen to.
I want to know why. Why I get pigeonholed? Why I get maligned? Why is a man on my back?
I didn't really know much about him. So like, I did do a bit of kind of deep digging, a wee bit of listening on the old Spotify to, you know, to the Gallo. Spotify,
we'd be emulating a stroke.
If you're listening Spotify, we're exclusive. You know, we could be exclusive with you if you choose to be.
You will never get
exclusive with us.
You will never get.
Show us the Spotify Joe Rogan money.
You wonder why? Too much dick talk. If we did dick talk plus talked about, I don't know, saunas and ice baths, we get that Rogan money. But because we only do dick humor, we're going to get anything else.
We can start talking about elk meat and fucking and grilling and shit. It's probably not going to happen. Anyway.
Native to Scotland, the elk.
the haggis. Anyway, Gallo, Duncan, I get the feeling you maybe got things to say, you know, get off your chest about this album. So
it's the first time we've talked about this, isn't it?
Yeah.
Not sending you any messages at all. Like 5 minutes after you teased me that you were, I've sent you 3 albums. I'm about to send you the 4th one. Literally his message, ladies and gents. And I was like that. I'm not fucking biting. Fuck you, Dave. I will wait 20 minutes before I check my emails. Then I checked and I was like that. Okay. Hello. clicked into it. Put on the old listening device. We'll not mention products because who's going to mention products?
Spotify.
And I was.
It wasn't Spotify, I'm afraid.
I was excited when you sent me Last Dance. I played the shit out of that song. By the way, fucking awesome, big old gothy 80s hand job. I mean, that's a fucking high school goth 80s in the corner hand job.
I imagine so.
Maybe with a glove. That glove is being worn as well. It's velvet. It's velvet.
Yeah.
It's velvet and dry for some reason. I don't know why. But yeah, I loved that song. Really, really, really liked it. I, like yourself, was like that. Is there more? Must know more. Because Sumerian sounded like a strange... Not the strangest. Like, Sumerian have Poppy, who
I think
is awesome. But the are a label that tends to acquire artists as opposed to bands. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. They acquire personalities who are malleable to different sounds, different styles. So like this, we're selling this package as opposed to we're selling this band. And that's kind of what you get with Gallo. And I don't mean that in any dismissive way. He has a sound, a style, and a look about him which is instantly marketable. It just so happens to be fucking awesome. When Last Dance came out, I did a little bit of research in the background and realised that he had been involved with the hip-hop scene. I checked out some of his earlier stuff. I wasn't enamoured with it. It was a bit raw sounding. It was a bit rough around the edges. And I was concerned. Is Last Dance the track where he's on a label now and the sound's going to be all refined and all changed? And to be honest, a lot of these tracks here have been already in the domain of EPs, etc. But having listened to those versions of them and listening to these versions have either been very well remastered or re-recorded. So I don't think this is a case of we'll just merge 2 EPs together and you have an album. Yeah. It kind of feels like there's additional work being done, whether or not that's been done on the vocals and the instrumentation. It's worth putting that out there. So if you've heard previous EPs, I would still say check this out because the tracks sound better, for lack of a better word. I'm kind of obsessed with this, right? Like this, like I can't stress this enough.
You're joking.
Like, I did an album count in this one. I've listened to this 18 times. I think it's fucking amazing. This will be my most listened to album. I can tell you right now in February,
it's
right?
February,
this will be
Duncan.
My most listened to album by the end of the year. And what was funny about it is I think in one of my messages to you, I basically said like that, it's so interesting that you can take the same ideas, like basically the same songs, but you can somehow make them sound different. Like the choruses are not that too dissimilar, but they're all instantly unique.
Yeah.
Like the guitars never really change sound. It's like one sound on them, but I know the guitar parts to listen to each of the individual songs. The drum sound is the same drum sound, but I know the beats on every single song. And the more it kind of went on, the more I felt like that's what the 80s were. The 80s where you didn't have access to a ton of shit, so you basically kind of had to make do with the 5 sounds your synthesizer had, your 3 effects pedals your guitarist had, the 1 drum sound that you had that you could play on a keyboard. This is fucking awesome, right? So There's The Cure, right? The Cure, we might as well get that out of the way. There is The Smiths, which we've been joking about offline. There is a huge... this is the bit that makes me the happiest. There's so much Human League in this, it's unbelievable. Like, to the point where I was like, I love the Human League, right? Unabashedly love the Human League. I know I'm wearing a Conjurer t-shirt and the band are probably throwing things right at the fucking screen right now if they still follow us. Going, fucking get that t-shirt off, you little fucking Human League. Like, so much, and it's the synth work rather than anything else. Synth work on this is fucking amazing. This is an album that is just a big... this is a goth disco, man, honestly. It's a goth dance. Take me to the goth dance. It's the hookiest album I think I've heard in ages. Mm. Like, ages. I sing this. And it's a smartly placed album as well. There's a couple of tricks they use that I don't think fully work. We'll touch on them a little bit more. One of them is the idea of you're listening to it through a cassette tape.
Yeah.
So track one intro, morning. That's not good morning. That's we're sad morning. Starts with the sound of a cassette being placed in and being clicked on.
Mm.
Love that, right? Yep. I'm like, oh yes. And then that comes in. I think it's either on track four or five where it sounds like they're flipping it around. Mm. Never comes back, and I think that's probably from an EP, and they've used that as a kind of sound thing. I would have loved this album to be half one side, half the other. No, doing the vinyl thing, Dave. But half a cassette tape on one side, half the other. And then there was a part where it was kind of going the other way, where I was like opining the idea of like get big risky business. Arthur Riskin here doing the old fucking retro Poison Ruin or kind of, you know, what's the other band? Had that album Morning. What was it called? The other band. Back to you.
Final Gasp.
Frozen Gaze.
Final Gasp.
Final Gasp, not yeah. Frozen Gaze. Frozen Gaze may have been a track on that album. Probably wasn't. Final Gasp, that kind of, encapsulates the sound. This has a vibe, it doesn't encapsulate the sound. This is modern produced music, and there's no getting around that. It has those retro sounds, but it's produced 2024, like it has that veneer on it that's difficult to move away from it.
Yeah.
So I kind of like that idea. I just wish they'd done it more cohesively on it. So it kind of sounds like it felt like an idea that started but then never completed. Right. And that will come from merging different things in there. Big things for me on this one. Songs are amazing. Super catchy. Bit samey, but I'm not going to hold that as a negative at all. The drum beats don't really vary much from what they have here. And it's kind of like... I had these drum sims back in like fucking 2002 when I was like, I don't need a drummer to write music on my drum pad. The guitar work is great. It's that Cure guitar sound. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of got lots of reverb. It's kind of very clean. It's very, not difficult, but kind of picked. Vocally, man, honestly, this dude. He's got three tones, and I love all three of them. He's got one which is a bit deeper, kind of not Pete Steele register, but not far off it. He's got one that's kind of mid, kind of almost talky, but in a melodic level. And he's got an 80s higher register that he hits with every chorus, and that's why every chorus is memorable as fuck. It starts off a little bit more somber, so Morning into It's So Cold is kind of like an intro track into your first gothy intro into what they do, all the gothy stuff. Well, smidge of alternative and industrial, but not too much. Leave Me Alone is where you start to get that kind of the bigger swath of that kind of Cure guitar work. You know, it reminds me of the Cure. It's difficult to move away from that, but it really, really works for them. I loved the first three tracks when they kicked in, but I was like, "That I need my banger. I need the banger track. Give me the banger track." And Pray to God kicks in as track four, and it is like, man, it's like fucking ear porn. It's the first track that really uses the kind of backing. Ayo, ayo. Mm-hmm. And like, I felt myself, wasn't even singing the lyrics, didn't even know the lyrics, but I was like, I'm like, the first time I heard that, I was like, that's a hook. That's my hook on this track. And it's fucking huge. Forever in My Mind carries that on. Say Goodbye lowers it down a little bit, but still fucking memorable as fuck. And then you get Die By Your Hand, which was a single previously. This is the one where I know for a fact I've remixed things, because I've checked the music video out from a year ago, and this sounds better produced. So it's either been remastered or re-recorded. It is fucking huge. And this is, to me, I sent this to you, me, and Young Ross, and I was like, that. He does DJing at the Cat House, which is an alternative nightclub, and I was like, dance floor, this, like, put it in the Cat House, loud as fuck. But track 7 was where I was like, that, I love this album. And then Last Dance came in, which was a song I already loved. Other Side is like a big gothy fucking Human League track that I fucking loved. Night Love then came in after that, which is a big fucking 80s electronic fucking hand job. Like, and then Fell in Love with a Ghost brings it back in a kind of more somber, darker tone, but still instantly catchy. And Until the Light Takes Me, which is the closing track, just wrapped this up. Dude, I fucking love this. I think it's got the sound, it's got the vibe. This is the hookiest thing I have heard, I don't know in how long. This is pitched to me. The synth work is fucking awesome. It's not overused, it's in the background, it's layered, it's smart, it's authentic to the tones. There's no kind of modern synths here. It feels like modern 80s synths, the way like a band like Voyager would. These guys should open for Voyager. Like that, they should open for everyone. I've got a laundry list of bands these guys should open for now. Like, it's just fucking insane. But at its core, I get it. Like, having seen the music video, having seen how he looks heavily, heavily tattooed. I mean, it's like right down the face, it's everywhere. I get this. I get what he's going for. I get the sound, I get the vibe, and hold a gun in my head, I don't think there's anyone that does it better. I think this is, my grade's going to reflect it. I will be fucking shocked if I get to the end of the year and I'm like, I've listened to an album, even half the amount of listens I've done on this. I can't stop listening to it. I think this is fucking great. And if you don't like it, I don't care. If it's not metal enough for you, I don't care. Find another channel. I just don't know how anyone couldn't enjoy this. I kind of want to live in the world that this guy... It's like a Tim Burton film recorded. Like, it's the strangest thing ever. It's like the best... It's like the... Like Twilight wishes it was this goth. You know what I mean? I love it. Love it.
Nice.
You have been surprisingly non-committal with any comments. You've been kind of like the guy that goes like that, cool. And I'm like, what does cool mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Tell me what it means. Let's turn over to you. I don't care if you don't like it. You
know. It's not metal enough for me.
It's not. Where's the distortion pedal? Someone show the guitarist.
I mentioned I kind of listened to some of the older stuff, and the back catalogue is pretty wild, to be honest.
It goes all over the place.
Yeah.
Almost like this guy was like that, we'll try this, that's not getting me signed, we'll try this, that's not getting me signed, we'll try this. We'll do more of that. We'll do an album with that.
Yeah.
That is my sound.
Yeah.
It's always been that way, as far as I can remember.
The press about his involvement with Ghostmane and Lil Peep makes more sense now that I've listened to the previous work, because a lot of those old singles, like if you go back to like 2017, the EPs are like heavily kind of rap kind of influenced.
Is goth hip hop, like, we're the most ill-equipped for this conversation, we're too white. Is goth hip hop a thing?
Probably.
I know horror hip hop is, but it tends to be done by kind of more kind of like black rappers who are really, really into horror.
Yeah.
Just the idea of this dude, now having heard this, the idea of him like being out there going, yo, I can't, no, please.
It's heavily hip hop and kind of rap influenced. But then if you check out his 2018 album, Waste Away, it's got more of the post-punk and the kind of new wave sounds coming into it. And I was like, all right, okay. And then I went and checked out the 2020 self-release, and I was like, all right, he's went back to the kind of dark electronic, almost like industrial hip-hop kind of stuff.
It does have an industrial
So it's like, it's very varied. But I'm so glad that he's opted for this kind of 80s new wave vibe on the new one, because personally, I think that's what he does best, all the kind of stuff he's tried. Not that he's not good at the other stuff, but I feel like this has more of his kind of personality all over it. Yeah, I agree with you. I loved how the album started. It's absolutely fucking drenched in the 80s with the cassette tape, and the real kind of, like, it's got a kind of gothic-y kind of horror kind of intro to it. So it kind of instantly sets the vibe.
It's not too dissimilar to if you listen to like fucking Hellbilly Deluxe for the first time. Yeah, you're like, all right, oh, here we go. Where's the sample from? There's the Charles Manson sample. We're on a good time.
Yeah. And when it comes to the kind of 80s inspired new wave post-punk stuff that Gallows does, he does it very, very well. He's nailed the character of this album. Yeah, I agree with you. There's bits of The Cure, Sisters of Mercy, Joy Division, Depeche Mode. There were moments when I was listening to this that I kind of forgot I was listening to an album in 2024. like, aesthetically, it's incredibly well done. I think the selection of keys and drum sounds he's used, I think, aid that in a big way. They're very, very cleverly done. But I love the way that he uses like small kind of drum fills or little loops just to give it, you know, that punch of something 80s. But then there's tracks where he'll swing in with a real kit sound as well, on certain songs, and it gives it a bit more kind of a live feel, a bit more energy. Same with the guitars. He's used sounds that kind of evoke the feeling of the 80s, but certain effects and, you know, certain tones give it that kind of really nostalgic feel. But similar to what he does with the drums on certain tracks, there are moments where the guitar has a more kind of like, kind of almost kind of like an indie kind of punk kind of touch. Yeah. And those tracks, weirdly, they made me think of a more kind of like reined in Blink 182 at times, like
Travis Barker. So,
like, well, yeah, it kind of actually reminded me of like some of the stuff they did with Matt Skiba. You know, when like the lineup kind of changed and they had Matt come in from Alkaline Trio. His voice is obviously a bit kind of smoother than Tom. So, I got a bit of that kind of like Californian kind of punky vibe coming through on this album at times, which I really liked. Stuff like Last Dance.
Imagine being a goth in California.
I know.
Wrong climate. Wrong climate.
Yeah, Last Dance or Fell in Love with a Ghost has it, but it's still mixed in with that kind of like 80s character at the same time. I think the place this album excels in, though, and is kind of key to making you want to come back to it, are the vocals. I think it's a hella catchy album. Like the vocal hooks and the melodies are very, very strong on this. Very gothic, very kind of breathy in the way they're delivered, especially in the verses. But then the choruses, they just open up. They're cleverly added. He's cleverly adding like additional kind of vocal lines as well. And they, if you listen to it, they sit like slightly kind of out of sync of the original, but it creates a really kind of thick kind of chorus. And really kind of opens it up. So the choruses always land huge on this album. There's not a song on this that doesn't have like an anthemic kind of melody to it. The only real thing that I could say about this that, you know, could be remotely negative is it does have fairly similar motifs that repeat throughout the album. But to be honest, I feel like when they're done as well as this, I didn't really find it like it was a major flaw. If these tracks were like, if they were lacking or poorly written, then maybe you could say like the familiarity of them, of the album, it might be disappointing. But for this release, I think there's enough subtlety in the songs as well that I think he gets away with it on this release. Production techniques are also bang on the money for this style. Whoever produced the album, I don't know if he's involved in the production, but balance of it is perfect. It's got the kind of retro attributes that make you feel like that kind of wave of nostalgia, but it's also got like a punch to it that makes it feel like it's you know, modern and released in 2024. The vocals are very much of that like 80s era. There's like the kind of heavy reverb and the delay, but it's got like a modern kind of richness to it as well. So yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was a really well done album. And yeah, I can imagine myself coming back to this quite a bit as well. It's definitely hooky enough to make you want to kind of come back. Nothing that I haven't heard, you know, done before, but like he's very good at it. So finally, scores for the new album Twin Flames from Gallo. What is your score for this one, Duncan?
All in five. I fucking did, man, honestly. Show me an album where you have fucking 12 songs and every single song has a hook that's memorable.
Mm.
They're so rare. In this genre, they are so rare. Like, even the bands that he's emulating didn't have a fucking album full of singles. This is an album full of singles. Any of them could be. Like, I want them all to be singles. Yeah, I think this is kind of fucking perfect. Like, I do. Yeah, biased and like all in as I am, I couldn't give this anything less than a five. I wouldn't change a second of anything on this. And maybe he gets over here. Maybe his touring will be better than Poppy's touring. I hear she is coming across to Glasgow this month. I believe it after it happens, because that's been cancelled about 10 times. But yeah, I would love to see this live. This to me is primed for. I know Zetra are out with Creeper at the moment, but like, you imagine this on there as well. It just works for me in so many different levels. So yeah, a happy five from me.
Happy five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought I enjoyed it. It's a 4.5 from me.
Dave. Yes.
Yeah, very hooky, very catchy, extremely well done, and production is excellent on it as well. As an 80s kid, there's a lot to enjoy.
All I'm going to say is, if you use the cassette tape sound, do it on the back half as well. Just like being pedantic, as I will want to do. It's a cool idea, but just do it on the last half of the album as well, and it's cool.
Nice. Gallo, Twin Flames, out on February 16th on Sumerian Records. Links below to the band, pre-order, all that sort of stuff. Check it out below. Have a listen, see what you think. Let us know. That is the review. Thank you so much for checking out. Much appreciated. We'll be back with another review very soon. But until then, take care. Speak to you soon.
Bye, everyone.